I am Planta on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. A very useful book is out now, Clean Food, a seasonal guide to eating close to the source, with more than 200 recipes for a healthy and sustainable you. Its author Terry Walters joins me now. It's useful in what it contains. Marvelous lists on what foods we need more of, and as well as specific items we need in our kitchens and in our homes. The book is divided into the four seasons, providing us with recipes containing the ingredients that are available that season. We're learning to consume what we have rather than seeking out processed foods or imported ones. The television chef Mario Batali recommends this book, quote, "Clean Food is the most exciting book based on fresh produce and simple recipes I have used in years." Oh, and the recipes are vegan. However, for a carnivore like me, they make for healthy and serviceable accompaniments. Perhaps it's in that spirit that we all can use this book. Terry Walters is a certified holistic health counselor. She's a frequent public speaker and instructs workshops on healthy living. She's trained at the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, the Natural Gourmet Cookery School, the Kushi Institute, and the Chopra Center. She lives in Avon, Connecticut, but joins me from here in Vancouver. Her website is terrywalters.net. Clean Food is published by Sterling Epicure. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Terry Walters. Good morning, Ms. Walters.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So this isn't just a vegan cookbook, and it's useful for someone like me, as I said.
You know, I think it's actually the last thing it is a vegan cookbook, and the first thing that it is a quick and easy resource with recipes and information for the foods that we all need more of, those super nutritional foods and ways to bring them into your diet and into your life so that we can benefit from the health benefits of them in a simple, you know, and delicious way.
Now, talk to me about clean food. Or is what we're eating or what we're used to eating dirty?
I don't think so. I think, you know, clean is closer to the source. So that's going to be different for each person. Now, what I focused on are whole grains, fruits, vegetables, legumes, nuts, seeds. You know, I walk through the produce section and I see people buying the same few things that they're, you know, accustomed to buying. But there's so many fresh fruits and vegetables. There's so many whole grains. And it's really just a matter of understanding what to do with them, how to make them delicious. And what I try and get across in the book is that it just takes a very small effort, one food a week, and it can really have a tremendous impact on your health. So I don't think it's dirty. I think it's just a matter of identifying where we are and how we can be cleaner, and it's going to be different for each person.
So at your house in Connecticut there, it's you and your husband. How many kids do you guys have?
I have two children.
Are you vegan?
I'm not.
No, you're not.
I'm not. No, I started preparing these recipes and creating them for classes I was teaching. I had clients, and I was making suggestions on how to work with them. And we were, you know, suggesting bringing in things like quinoa and kale, and they'd look at me and, you know, all happy to make some changes, but having absolutely no idea what to do with those foods. So I started teaching classes and preparing these super nutritional foods. So that's what I was teaching, and again, as the foods we all needed more of. But I feel like there are as many diets as there are people, and the cleaner we eat, the clearer we think, and the more we can respond to our body's unique needs.
So let me be presumptuous and invite myself over for dinner.
Okay.
At the Walters house. It's fall. It's fall, so we go to the fall section of the book. What would you serve?
You know, if you were coming unannounced, you might find me making some fairly simple quinoa. I might throw some pumpkin seeds on it, and a little olive oil and sea salt, and serve that maybe with some squash or some kale sautéed with some leeks. That might be our dinner. Maybe once a week, if you were to catch us on that night, maybe we'd have a piece of salmon on the grill. And if I knew you were coming,
yeah,
I might go a little more all out, and we might, let's see, fall, maybe we would stuff some delicata squash and make a wild rice salad with arame and maybe the sinful chocolate tart for dessert.
Yeah. Now, it seems to me you listed off, you have quinoa, pumpkin seed, squash, kale. Is that stuff that you keep stock regularly at your house?
It is. It is. I keep all my nuts and my legumes in mason jars, and I shop at the farm every Friday and get my fresh produce, although I also have a garden in my backyard. So, you know, the kale and the collards, especially this time of year, are plentiful. So there's, and the leeks are looking good. So there's all sorts of produce that we always have on hand.
It just seems to me if you wanted to make a change in your diet, in your life, which everyone says we should, it just seems to me a lot of work, and you just seem to go crazy thinking about it, that you just don't even bother doing it.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think if we think of having to get from one extreme to another, it's very overwhelming. But to think that if every time you go into the grocery store or the farm, you just buy one new item, and maybe it's an item you've had but haven't had in a long time, and just because we're all human like that, you know, we all tend to just go, and maybe we're in a rush, and we just grab the things that we're accustomed to grabbing. But if we force ourselves to buy one new item and bring it home, you know, flip to the back of the book, go on the internet, find a recipe using that item, and give it a try, you know. And then if we do that once a week or once every 2 weeks, we've brought in so much clean and so much nutritional value. At the end of a year, you know, if you liked half of the recipes that you tried, you've moved that much closer to the source, and all of a sudden you realize, wow, it wasn't overwhelming at all. It was delicious. And you slowly change so that your body adapts more slowly, your pantry adapts more slowly, your wallet adapts more slowly,
right,
and your family. So a slow transition is a successful transition.
And your kids have been eating this way their entire lives, have they?
Well, they have, and I will admit that I think I put kale and collard greens on the table probably five nights a week for over a year before they kind of just, you know, threw in the towel and said, I guess this is what dinner is. But that said, I've never put that pressure on myself that I've got to get certain foods into their diets. I feel my job as a parent is to educate them to make healthy choices, and so we talk about how we're making the choices, how the food fuels our activity and our metabolism, and how to make sure we're eating a rainbow of color and getting all the tastes. So, and they go to the farm with me, so they're intimately involved, and they plant our own garden. And frankly, they go to the dump with me, too, and and compost. And so they see, they get that, you know, everything goes from one place, goes someplace and comes from someplace, and they kind of see the cycle and how they fit into it. And, you know, then as a parent, I think our only option is to step back and pray that they use the knowledge you've given them and the example you've set to make their own good choices.
What's something that you see the average consumer out there encountering at the grocery store that they buy that we really should avoid?
You know, I think convenience is the devil when it comes to buying, trying to buy healthy food. All the packaged foods are so ridden with various processed corn and soy. It's almost in everything in a package. So, yes, there are all sorts of taboo foods, you know, partially hydrogenated and, you know, the high fructose corn syrup. But if you're looking and you're buying something in a package, read the ingredients and see if you can imagine how the foods grow. If you can't imagine them how they grow in the green plant, chances are they grow in the cement kind of plant. And see if we can avoid those things. And better yet, if you want to take one step closer to the source, see if you can give up the package altogether.
Well, what's something that we can start buying that'd be an easy change for someone like me?
I think the best place to start for most people, because it's the one color that we're missing the most, is something green. So go to the store and find something green, and maybe it's, you know, kale or collard greens. Maybe it's some dandelion greens or mustard greens. If it's firmer feeling, you can saute it with garlic. If it feels like it's, you know, has a higher water content, then chop it up or rip it up and just toss it in with your salad with romaine. Just, you know, a little here or there, or mix it in with your soup. You know, there are so many things you can do just to bring that those dark leafy greens in, and they're so healing, so heart healthy, so alkalinizing, and really restorative to the body.
Now, you don't recommend fad diets in the sort, right?
I'm not a big person on diets. I do think that there are a lot of great books out there, and I think if you can, you know, try a diet knowing that it's, you know, someone's figured out their stuff, but it might not fit you, you know, use it, learn from it, you know, try it on and see what works and doesn't. But, you know, if there were a foolproof diet, I don't think there'd be so many diet books out on the shelf.
Right.
You know, I think that we need to listen to our bodies and eat what grows around us, let go of the judgments on ourselves, and do the best we can to be clean.
One of the fascinating things that when I opened the book yesterday that I read is that we forget to chew sometimes, and the importance of that.
You know, I don't know about you, but I take yoga. And one of the things I notice when I go to yoga is that I've got my shoulders up around my ears, and just taking that cleansing breath. You know, chewing is an extension of just taking the time to sit and enjoy our meals. And I think even if it takes forcing us to light a candle, but some kind of practice around reminding ourselves to smell the food, to, you know, let your mouth salivate first. That aids digestion, actually. Sit down so that your energy can go to digesting and we can enjoy the food, you know, with all of our senses and the meal time around it and share it. You know, I think that allows us to be nourished by the food and the mealtime so much more than the, you know, grab something on the go and inhale it, and then whether we're actually physically hungry or not, to feel unsatisfied afterwards. So common.
And having a browse through the recipes here, they seem fairly easy to make, these whether it's a dessert or a starter or a main course or an accompaniment. Did you try? You've tried, obviously, all of these recipes, have you?
Well, I made all of the recipes,
yeah.
And I had, you know, a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old as my critiques. they're a tough crowd to please, and we call it in my home, you know, quick and easy cooking. We call it dump and stir.
Yeah.
Put it in a bowl, see what's in the house, season it, or in a pan or Dutch oven. So the recipes are easy because we need to fit them into our lives, and it can't be complex. It needs to look beautiful, it needs to taste delicious, and it needs to be something that we can, you know, get in, spend the time enjoying the food, and not so much the process of creating it and getting it to the table.
Growing herbs, is that something that you recommend at home, whether you live in a house or an apartment?
You know, I think whatever strikes your fancy that you can put in the dirt and nourish it and watch it grow is a wonderful way to be empowered to control what you're bringing in. And we have different resources, but it's also a great way to get children to try different produce items. My youngest daughter this year planted an entire flat of arugula. She was so excited. And when it came time to pick it, she went out and she was harvesting that arugula, and we brought it in and we made this beautiful salad. And she took one bite and said, "Oh!" And she did not like it one bit, which was fine with me because I love it. But the beauty of it was that the second she bit it into it and realized she didn't like it, she was already planning what she was going to plant next year.
Yeah.
And I thought she never would have even tasted it if she hadn't been involved in the process. So I think it's fun, it's nourishing, and the more we can connect with our food, the more we're going to be healed and nourished by it.
Another great thing about the book that I particularly liked was that you have a list of tools that we need in the kitchen.
And it's short, right?
Yeah. You don't need fancy things. It's fairly simple things that we probably already have if we looked, I guess.
Exactly. You know, a wooden spoon, a nice knife, maybe two, a chef knife and a paring knife, a great wood or bamboo cutting board, some cast iron, whether it's a big skillet or a big Dutch oven. I think I do almost everything in those two pieces. And traditional cast iron skillets are, you know, under $20. They're so inexpensive. So it doesn't take a lot. And the more you do it, you'll become so skilled, it will go so much more quickly for you.
You're not a fan of plastic cutting boards?
I'm not, but don't tell anybody, because I have one of those silicone little sheets that I do put over my wood cutting board when I use hot peppers.
Right, yeah.
But no, I like to keep it real.
Yeah, non-stick pans, they're a scourge that we see a lot of, isn't it?
I don't own any officially non-stick pans, but my cast iron and a good stainless pan that heats evenly throughout will be very non-stick. And the more we season, I season my cast iron skillet, and it's been with me for a long time, and we can make omelets off of it beautifully. It's a wonderful non-stick surface. There are newer, I can't remember what they're made out of, but there are green non-stick pans that are out there, and they're a great option for people as well. They're, more of a true non-stick surface, but I love the cast iron.
When it comes to vegetables and fruits, does it matter if it's organic or the conventional way, I guess, that we've had fruits and vegetables grow over the years?
Well, gee, now you're getting to the tough ones.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be, that's an individual choice. There is a group called the Environmental Working Group, and they have a website, EWG.org, and they list, because they test regularly for pesticides on fruits and vegetables, they list the dirty dozen and the clean dozen, but it's 50 fruits and vegetables that are commonly consumed, and the level of pesticides. That is great knowledge. So you can walk into the store and know what you're looking at and make that choice right then and there. If the broccoli is on sale and it's conventional, you can feel good about buying that conventional broccoli, especially if it's locally grown, knowing that broccoli doesn't require a lot of pesticides. And yet, if they're strawberries, for instance, strawberries require a lot of pesticides to grow in most places. So you get that knowledge so that you can make those choices. And again, if we're at a farmer's market, the Environmental Working Group's information might not be nearly as important, because you can ask the farmer how it was grown. There are, especially near me, there are a number of small local farms that can't afford the organic certification, and yet they grow so ethically and with a mind to keep pesticides and herbicides to a minimum. So just asking, and that's all a function of being clean and closer to the source. It gives us knowledge, and knowledge is the power to control and to heal ourselves.
Now, you've traveled a lot on this book tour as well as through your work. You've been throughout the continent, I'm assuming, right?
Well, I'm starting. I've certainly been making the rounds the last few weeks, so yes, and the food has been amazing.
So has it?
It really has. This is such a wonderful time of year to travel, this harvest season, so we've gotten some wonderful picks.
And you must be heartened that this way of living that you're championing in your work and through this book, this is not just a fad. This is something that people are transitioning to throughout the continent, right?
It appears that way from what I'm seeing. The other thing is, I used to travel quite a bit for work when I was much younger, and the options for healthy food were so much slimmer. And so even at the airports, really everywhere I go, I'm noticing vegetarian burritos and organic produce, and I'm hoping that it is not, that it is not only a trend, but that it is becoming a lifestyle choice for so many people. And I think that, the more we ask, the more we're going to start to see what we want reflected. And I'm seeing that. I'm seeing care with, writing or in a menu, saying the farm where something's from. I'm seeing it in the produce section of the markets that I'm going to, and talking to so many farmers. It's heartening and encouraging and hopeful and delicious.
Terry, this conversation has been fun and helpful, as has the book. Continued good luck with it.
Thank you so much, Joe.
You're very welcome. I will be taking the book home. It won't be sitting in the office, I'll tell you that much.
I'll look forward to getting an email to hear what you made.
Yeah, I certainly will do that. The website for more is terrywalters.net. The full title of the book is Clean Food, A Seasonal Guide to Eating Close to the Source with more than 200 recipes for a healthy and sustainable you. It's published by Sterling. The author, Terry Walters, online. I'm Joseph Planta.